Hello and welcome to episode 75 of the Desi Outsiders podcast. I'm Meenal.
And I'm Ankita.
And this week we decided to do a brain dump. We decided to sit down and tell you guys what's been going on in our personal lives. And trust me, a lot has been happening behind the scenes this year. And this will probably explain why there have been delays and why everything seems to be a bit out of place in the last couple of weeks.
We just wanted to sit down and explain why our episodes have been going up at weird hours on weird days of the week and not just a Thursday, and why an episode wasn't even released last week. So sorry guys, both of our lives have been getting in the way too much, and we still love you. We're still here to share stories. It's just that this week we'll be sharing our stories.
So without further ado, let's jump right into the show.
So I think a good place to start off would be by addressing what happened to last week's episode. So we had interviewed an amazing guest. We had everything ready. We were getting prepped to start editing. And that's when our editor and my husband Shane fell violently sick. By the time he was fit enough to even sit in a chair, we realized that the audio file that was sent to us by our guest, it only had a 1 minute recording. And it was actually the test audio that we make our guests do before we start the actual recording from their side. So sick Shane had to sit and try to edit the whole thing from the audio that we recorded from our side. And I have a feeling that we're getting a bit technical here. So just suffice it to say that having an audio from our Skype recording is not at all ideal, because the quality of that audio depends on the Skype connectivity. And this guest was based in India. Unfortunately, most of the time when we have a third guest coming in from India, the connectivity suffers. So basically it was a clusterfuck, and we apologize for not even being able to explain all of this in a post on the day of the release.
Ankita, thank you for that very long introduction about some very technical stuff, which I'm sure a lot of people, I'm sure probably half of our listeners are probably switched off by now and listening to another podcast. So thank you for loosening some listeners. But I think it's
loosening some listeners.
Losing. So
because you're a loser.
So I'm just going to ignore that and carry on. So if we rewind a little bit, a lot's been happening, and now we're in July, and I think this whole mess started off in around May. So I was approaching, it was actually just after our TV appearance, if I remember.
It
came
was
back.
April for me, Meenal.
Yeah, it was in April for you. But Ankita, do you want to explain your life from April? Because I think mine is just going to be not so interesting.
Actually, I find yours more interesting.
Really?
Anyway.
Okay.
So you go.
Okay,
you go.
I'll go. If you insist. So when I came back from London, I remember coming back home, and it was a Wednesday or a Thursday, and the Monday after I had my pediatrics rotation, which was my next state exam and actually my last state exam. So Ankita has heard the story a lot of times, and she knows all the horror stories that have happened at my university, where people are quite successful in most of the state exams throughout the sixth year, and in the last state exam, things just go terribly wrong. And if things go terribly wrong, it means you don't graduate with your class. And that was my biggest fear. Ankita knows the hard work that's been put in the last 6 years. She's been through all my tears. Well, most of my tears, actually. Most of my happy moments as well. And I wanted it all to account to something. So after the TV show, really, it was just head down and just study, study, study. And I still remember, I've never done this before, Ankita. I've never listened to educational podcasts. Mm-hmm. And I actually listened to podcasts on pediatric cases. I was that desperate. I have never done this before.
Do you want to recommend a few for any listeners who are also medical students?
Well, the one I listened to was called Peds Cases. And they go through a different, basically, pediatric scenario in every episode. And they discuss it and they give you hints on how you can diagnose it. Because obviously our state exams were based around that, because you're going to be a doctor. So
And just a reminder for anyone who's just tuning in and hasn't listened to any previous brain dumps, Meenal's medical exams are not the traditional kind of exams we have in other countries, like even in India that I know of, where there's not even a single written exam. They're all oral exams. And she basically gets interviewed by a panel of doctors who put her in different scenarios. And Meenal, do you want to explain the rest?
Yeah, so as Ankita described, there were a panel of doctors in front of me. So I had to make sure that I had every angle covered for this exam. I really could have messed it up. So usually the podcasts I listen to are like, you know, Mark Maron, Joe Rogan, where there are interview-based, just like our own podcast. But even my downtime was my study time. So when I was walking, this is how desperate I was. Even when I was walking to my group study sessions, I was studying on the podcast as well. So that's how desperate I was. I'm like, I can't waste a single minute. And it was very intense because the only downtime I really had was table tennis. And as you know, that's very important for me to do some sort of exercise during my study time. And that's what it was, really. Wake up, listen to a podcast on my way to study session, study, table tennis, come home, study, and sleep. And even before I would go to bed, I would watch tutorial videos on YouTube. So it was a very intense 1 month for me. And I also had classes during this time. So from 8 a.m. to 1 p.m. I was in the hospital, and the rest of the day I had study. So we did have interviews during that time, if I remember. But you were involved in like scheduling and stuff, because this is again the beauty of the relationship we have, in the sense that if Ankita knows I have a busy month, then I tell Ankita, look, this month I'm just jam-packed.
And Ankita, months are busy months.
Yeah, all exam months were very busy months. So Ankita takes care of it. And even now, like, Ankita will explain her life, and I'm trying to like step it up as well, because I know that Ankita would have did the same for me. So all of that aside, I passed and I graduated and all of that, all of these happy moments. But it was a big disappointment, because I passed, and I really thought when I passed my last exam, it would be like a big fist pump moment. You know, like you punch the air and you're like, yeah, I did it. But I just came home and I slept. And I slept for like 2 days. And yeah, there were phone calls coming in. There were messages of congratulations. But when I finished my last exam, my landlady in my apartment was like, Minal, when are you moving out? So I had to sort out when I was moving out. I had to sort out suitcases. I had to sort out my last month of rent and everything.
And on top of everything else, you had at least 4 family members living with you in your tiny apartment.
Yeah, I had family members from India who wanted to come over. This is the annoying thing, Ankita. I've been in Prague for 6 years, right?
Yeah.
No family member has ever wanted to visit me in Prague. Then during my busiest time, everyone fancies a visit to Prague. I was like, you guys, okay, it's great you're coming for my graduation, but dude, like, I've been here for 6 years. Like, why do you want to come now when I have to sort out my life over here? Yeah. So yeah, they all came, and everything has just been on the go, on the go, on the go. And it's only now, so this whole graduation celebration all finished last week. So I've come back here. So my brother also flew in from the States. He went back to the States. My family went back to India. We've come back to Gibraltar. And only now that I'm actually starting to deflate a little bit and just having some time to look back. But I still also feel a bit jaded, in the sense that, like, do you really know what I'm supposed to do? Like, when I wake up, I'm just like, well, what do I do now?
Try to enjoy that a little bit. Mm. You're going to start working soon, Mina. You're going to be working in London, possibly, or anywhere in the UK. And you won't have time to yourself at all. So right now is your time to do a lot of things you would have done if you got like a long holiday, which is what this is.
A lot of the advice I've been getting is that you only appreciate this time once you start working. Mm. So I am trying to be grateful. And also like the fact that we have beaches over here in Gibraltar, the sun is out, just trying to make the most of that. Because I know that that will never happen again in my life, where I can just literally walk to a beach, sit there for 2 hours under the sun, read a book, and literally walk back home.
Yeah.
And that's also like a very nice beach. These are not like the Mumbai beaches in India where there's plastic bottles rolling in. Like, these are actually really nice beaches. So yeah. I am trying to make the most of it.
And also on the flip side, just to go back to your graduation story, I was looking at the pictures. I was hoping to be able to travel down for your graduation as well. I couldn't start the visa process fast enough, unfortunately, and I couldn't be there. But I was looking at your graduation photos and I felt so happy for you, because you had an entire bandwagon of supporters cheering you on when you were graduating.
Mm.
You had your parents, you had your brother, you had your cousins from India, you had Nishant.
Yeah. I probably had the biggest family.
Yeah.
But, you know, when we were, so our graduation ceremony is quite different to what it is in the UK. I don't know if graduation ceremonies are a thing in India.
They are. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. In some universities, but my university didn't have it, so I didn't have it.
Mm. So when I was standing with my classmates getting ready to receive the diploma, I actually thought it would be an emotional moment. I still remember the day before graduation thinking, man, you know, I'm probably going to get quite teary when I'm about to receive my diploma, because it's 6 years of not even just a study, Ankita, you know as well, like personal life, family, all of these things, like, you know, it does take a toll on you. And I just stood there looking around, and not to sound cynical, but I just realized how much I don't like a lot of my classmates around me. I just stood there thinking, all these people, unfortunately, guys, and like, I know a lot of you are tuning in thinking that Meenal's a happy-go-lucky person, which I am, but I'm also quite realistic in the sense that there are a lot of people who were in my class where I had nothing in common with, who also tried to mess up my life in the 6 years in Czech Republic, who tried to, to some extent, try to make me fail. And I just stood there looking at them thinking, I never want to see their face again. And that's quite sad. That's really quite sad, Ankita, because you want to be in a moment where you're trying to like celebrate with your classmates. And even after the graduation, everybody, all my classmates were outside taking photos with each other and stuff. And I didn't take a photo with anybody.
Can I tell you something?
Yeah.
You're not going to regret this even 1 year or 2 years or 7 years or 10 years from now.
Mm.
Because I was you in high school. When I was graduating from my high school, I was literally just so happy to get out of there. Everyone else was crying and weeping and saying, oh, this was our second home. And I'm like, no, not a second home.
No.
So like I got out of there. Yeah, it was horrible for me. And I got out of there and I thought, wow, I'm so glad that I don't have to go back there anymore.
Mm.
And even so many years later, there's no regret. I never went back.
Yeah, yeah.
Like maybe for one reunion, maybe, but I never went back.
There was a moment during the graduation where one specific person came up to me, and this is a person I really don't like, and he has tried to manipulate me, and he's tried to do a lot of horrible, horrible things. And also, guys, I just want to say as well, like, I am saying all this, and just remember that people graduate from medical school as doctors, but they're not, half the people I knew weren't compassionate in the slightest, they weren't nice in the slightest, they weren't even kind. So it is quite scary to see these people go out there and actually be doctors. But I still remember a specific person came
and caregiver.
Yeah, yeah. And I still remember a specific person coming up to me saying, oh, Meenal, congratulations. And he came over to hug me, and I was so close to just turning my back and just walking away. But I thought, you know, what's the point in just creating such a sour mood? You know, everyone's happy, everyone's, there was no point. So I hugged him back, but in my head, I was obviously cursing him. Like,
and I'm never going to see you again, fuck off.
I'm never going to see any of you again. So I spent my time in the courtyard taking photos with my family, and that's it. And then I'm like, okay, yeah. I'm done with my job here. Thanks for the diploma. Yeah. See you later. So I'm never going to see these people again. Maybe, possibly, if I work in London, I might bump into someone in a hospital. Because I know like our class is very small, but it's happened to a lot of people who've graduated from my university where they've worked in a hospital and someone from their class just shows up and be like, oh, hey, I'm working here too. If in that case, at least like there are other people I can interact with in the hospital. So I don't have to like, you know, because my class, there were only like 23 people. So I was very limited.
And especially this would happen only because it's industry specific. You're a doctor, they're a doctor,
exactly.
Working in London. London is such a big city. Mm. You're not going to bump into random people, even family members who live there.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. But just because of the industry and because you're in the same profession and you could be working at the same place at the same time.
Yeah, but all that's over now. And now, well, I don't really have much to say right now because now it's just... I've been helping, they have like sports camps over here in Gibraltar where I'm helping out as a sports leader and just enjoying the beach and just trying to figure out my next steps. But as Ankita said, just try to make the most of this time. So Ankita, enough about me. I think your story is also really incredible in the sense that so much has happened in the last few months in comparison to where you and I both were like a year ago.
Yeah. Oh my God. Things that I couldn't have even... ever dreamed of. The last brain dump we did was where I came back from India after my dad's open heart surgery.
Was that the last brain dump we did?
That was the last brain dump,
really?
I believe.
I think we need more of these.
We do. Yeah. So that's where I explained how I ushered in the new year with a lot of panic and a lot of fear. But the year started, my dad was fine. I celebrated my New Year's with my parents, and I was happy. We were all happy because he was recovering steadily. And then I came back to the UK. I was very unhappy with the house that we were living in.
Mm.
Sure, it was a happy home. We were making happy memories in there. But in a lot of ways, it was just an old flat. It was not working out for us. I didn't have all the space that I needed. And I was looking for flats. The city is so expensive. And that was the month that I found the best possible home for myself. And within a month after that, almost 3 years of looking in the UK, I found my first ever job here as a digital marketer. And it was while I was at that job in April that on LinkedIn, I saw that there was this new position opening up in Edinburgh for a digital coach. This was something perfect for me. I felt like that was perfect for me because I was a trainer and a coach previously before moving from India. And that was the kind of job that I was looking for all these years in the UK. And I never found something similar to that. And digital is what I work in all the time now. So I just wanted to find something that fit me perfectly. I thought I found it. I applied to it. And within 5 days, I found out that this was actually a Google opportunity, which was not advertised at all.
So you didn't know that when...
No.
So when you saw it on LinkedIn, you just saw digital coach, but you didn't know who it was for.
No, it was another company that was advertising because they were contracted by Google to not share this information.
Wow.
So yeah, and I applied to them. And that's when I found out that within a few days that this was actually for Google Digital Garage, which was opening in Edinburgh. But obviously, I was contractually obliged to not talk about it at all. Even before they called me in for the interview, I was asked to not talk about this, not tell anyone. Which, you know, and then there were so many rounds of interview, as you can imagine, when you're recruiting someone for a company as big as this. There were many, many rounds of interviews, many, many situations we were put in. And finally, they found the perfect team of 20 individuals who'd be working at the Google Digital Garage. So just to give a little bit of context into what it is and what people do there. The Google Digital Garage is a physical space on the high street in whichever city that they set up in. It's a place where people can walk in literally and learn digital skills face to face with trainers. So we have about 7 to 8 trainers coming in every week, every day at the Digital Garage. We're open 7 days a week. And we provide, you know, digital training, anything starting from online safety, first steps online, all the way to introduction to coding, start your own business. You know, we have 1 hour sessions, 30 minute sessions, and some of our sessions are 5 weeks long.
And is this available in India as well?
There is a Google Digital Garage in India.
Where in India is it?
So if you go to the website, if you search for Google Digital Garage and you go to the website and you scroll down to the very bottom, there's an option to look at the locations. So in India, if you want to look, you can just go to locations and try to find a garage very close to your you know, city or wherever you're living. It's not in all cities, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
Even in the UK right now, there are only 2 functioning digital garages, one in Manchester and one in Edinburgh. It's basically Scotland Digital Garage, but the one we don't have a physical space in Glasgow. Our freelance coaches travel around Glasgow providing these skills to people. And we're going to have, you know, many more interesting things happening soon. It's so, so refreshing to be here, Meena, and I cannot believe that I am doing this job right now. Yeah. And also just along the same lines, during the interview, they had told us that they were looking for a few full-time employees, a few part-time employees as coaches, and they were also looking for a team leader. And they already had another team leader. They wanted someone else to step in from Edinburgh to become a team leader. And they asked me if I wanted to apply for that. And I remember thinking in my head, no, what qualifications do I have? I've been pretty much unemployed for the past 3 years. I've been doing the blogging. I've been doing Desi Outsiders, Feminism India, whatnot. But technically speaking, I have been unemployed. So I said, I don't know, let me think about it. And it was Shane who said, when you aim for something, just aim for the highest possible thing. And you will be able to do this. Aim for team leader. And I did. And I actually got it. Yeah, so I was more surprised than anyone else that I even managed to become team leader. I did not believe in myself. And that's... So in Google Digital Garage, we offer a course, which will be a course we'll be offering more regularly, hopefully soon. But it's called I Am Remarkable, which is for underrepresented groups and, you know, women, LGBTQ communities, where we provide a lot of stats looking into how women apply for jobs, how men apply for jobs. And I'm sure you must have seen these stats as well, Meena, where they say that a woman applies for a job only if she feels that she 100%... Yeah. matches the job description, whereas a man would apply for a job if he feels like he has 60% of the qualifications he needs. And I was doing that to myself a lot in these past few years, where I thought I was not worth anything, I was not good enough to apply for something, what experience do I have? And I've been very self-deprecating, and that's something I'm working on now, because, you know, it's not worth it to be like that.
When you are stuck in a rut where you're trying to find a job, and obviously you had a bit of a different case where you had all the qualifications, but you just had it from a different country, and to translate that into the UK was a bit difficult. But I mean, I'm nowhere close to what you went through, but even just 1 weekend trying to find a job is quite demoralizing when you just, and the thing is, Ankita, to be fair, I've applied for jobs, but I haven't heard back from anybody yet. And in the back of my head, I'm just like, why haven't you gone back to me yet? You know? And the thing is...
Well, I used to send out 50 applications a day and never hear back from people. Maybe one or two people would get back.
So is that actually a normal thing then?
I've heard that it is a normal thing because a lot of people who have been recruited and who have been given a job at the Google Digital Garage, obviously they have been recruited because they're good. Obviously, they have the job because they've gone through so many stages of the interview and proved their merit. Some of these people have been unemployed for 6 months. Some of these people were unemployed for more than 6 months. And it's not as if they're not good at what they do. It's just that it's hard.
But don't employers have... Aren't they supposed to respond back and say, well, we went through the application?
Not necessarily. I don't think there's a legal obligation to do that.
Really? Anyway, I've just been into this process a week in and already I'm just feeling really anxious, feeling on edge, not sure what's going to happen. And you went through that for 3 years.
Almost 3 years, yes.
Almost. How?
So that's another thing that I still can't... So I still don't understand how I did that. It's just like I was telling you yesterday, I think, you know, that when I was in India, when I was a student, I was really good at, you know, my education. I was really good at my courses. I would come in the top three while graduating, blah, blah, blah. I got my first job without even trying to get it. I accidentally ended up at an interview and I was the only person from my batch to get that job. And it was everyone's like dream thing. And it was all so easy and so straightforward for me that I thought, okay, that's it. I'm here. I'm here in the UK, United Kingdom. I have arrived. Give me a job. And that's not how any of that works.
So, you know, when I've read a lot of articles where people are complaining that people who are unemployed are lazy. People who are unemployed are not finding jobs, so they just sit at home. And they get, I don't know if you've heard of the, I'm sure you have, I don't know if our listeners have heard of job seekers, where you get a certain amount of money coming in every month.
Mm-hmm.
And I can start to empathize slowly, because when you're applying every single day, day in, day out, and as you said, you've got your degree, you've graduated, you've done the hard work, you've come top of your class, you've not only done that, and... Just for our listeners as well, I was just having a conversation with Ankita, saying to her, like, you know, I did my 6 years of medicine. And besides that, I did the podcast. I played table tennis. I represented my country. I did my charity work. And now I'm sat here thinking, was that even worth it? Will that get me a job? Because I know people who just literally just studied, didn't even get the best grades and partied and they got a job. So now you start to think of like the fairness of the employment world, because, you know, you start to question your own abilities. You start to question your own skills, and people who... Like you, at least for 3 years, yeah, fine, you were unemployed, but at least you were doing your blog, you tried to start your podcast, and you know, you did try. But for people who just sit at home and give up and just rely on the government to give them money, I don't blame them to a certain extent, because it's so demoralizing.
But at the same time, you know, coming from India, this is just baffling to me how there's so much privilege in the first world where you could be unemployed, but you still get benefits from your government to sit at home, and you still get money, you get housing, you get benefits, you can do, you know, you can be unemployed and still you won't be out on the streets. Whereas in India, we are all taught to work so hard, because if we don't, then we're going to be out on the streets literally. No one's going to help you. No benefits coming to help you. So if people talk about the laziness bit of it, I have not been lazy only because that work ethic was installed and instilled in me from the time I was a child.
Yeah.
Because I grew up in the third world and my parents and my teachers and everyone around me just said, work hard, otherwise you're going to end up on the streets.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the only reason why, I was reflecting a bit, and the only thing I can say about my life henceforth and why I've landed this job with, you know, the Google Digital Garage and everything, it's only because from day one, I did not stop showing up. All I did and all I could possibly do was show up, have the same work ethic that I had from the time I was a child, and do whatever I had to do, like write the blog post every single day or show up for the podcast, research guests, whatever possibly I could do. But I'm not sure that work ethic is something you can cultivate when you know that if you fall, you have your entire government backing you.
But the thing is, Ankita, imagine if you spend 2 years trying to find a job, you can't find a job. And you know the worst thing is you get a degree and you apply for places and then they say, well, we want at least 2 years experience in this industry, in accounting or in banking. And you're like, but I just graduated. Where do you expect me to bring this experience from? So... The whole system is so ridiculous. The whole system feels like they're trying to get you. And unless you're in the system, there's no other way to work your way up. So you just have to try and get your foot in somehow. So when I see people just sat at home and, you know, they're getting £20, £30 a week, I don't know how much they get. Yeah. If they can actually just feed themselves, then they're like, well, I might as well, because there's no other way.
Yeah. And just going back to what you were, you know, saying, and also just for our listeners in India who want to come to the UK, we have a course at the Google Digital Carriage, which is about CV building and writing a cover letter. And when I was being trained for that, because we had intensive training as well for 3 weeks or more, when I was being trained for that, I saw the kind of CV that works well in the UK and like the template for it. And I immediately raised my hand and said, my CV actually does not look like that, because in the UK, when you apply for a job, apparently in the CV template, your education is something that they don't really care about. So it goes at the bottom. Whereas when you're applying for a job in India, education is one of the first fields because it's not free. Education is not free in India. Education is not easy. Either you get your education because of merit, because you've done so well that universities just want to have you, or you get it because you have money. So you've paid a lot of money to get that education. So your education is something you show off, and based on that education, that degree certificate, you get your job. So if you go in and you say, I never had the time to study, I don't have a degree certificate, but I have 10 years of experience in this thing, give me a job, there's a very good likelihood that an employer in India would say, bring back a degree certificate, or your salary would be improved and increased if you have a degree certificate. Whereas in the UK, if you go to them with a degree certificate, with benefits, people can act, not benefits, I don't know what it's called, but you can actually go to university and study for free.
Yeah.
Yeah, you get free education. So a degree certificate is not of any value.
So the whole market is so different. And even in Prague, for example, you know, I was offered jobs over there, and they were like, Meenal, we'll give you a job, especially in the pediatrics department where I had such a great time. They were like, this is going to be very easy for you. They didn't even like question my CV, my anything. Yeah. But now I come back here to the UK and they're asking ridiculous questions like, we need proof of your English. I'm just like,
listen to my podcast.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. Yeah. Like how, like it feels like the world is trying to play a prank on me. Like, hey, you work hard for 6 years now, sucker.
Yeah, but don't give up. And you did ask that question: was it all worth it? It was all worth it for yourself. It doesn't have to be worth it in terms of employability or anything. It has added so much value to your life, and you're a better human being.
It has, Ankita. But obviously, like the motivation behind it was obviously on a more personal level, but also in the back of my head, it was like, well, this will give me added experience and an added advantage when I apply for jobs, right? Like, Ankita, to be honest, I've never really had to think of my CV because deep down, I'm like, well, I do enough.
Yeah.
Like, I think I do enough to, like, you know, CV is something that I've never had to really think of. But now I'm just like, does my CV have enough? Which is quite crazy considering the amount that I did through medical school.
Yeah.
And then you still question it, you know? That's just the world we live in now.
No, so I mentioned CV building that we do with Google and the training that I was going through for that as well. And one of the scenarios that came up was that doctors apparently have very long CVs that could be 7 pages long. So there was this debate about how long should your CV be. And some people said not more than 1 page. Some people said 2 pages maximum. But there's no one size fits all, because I hear that doctor CVs are at least 7 pages long. Is that true?
Well, I guess it that makes sense, because when you talk about like the section on your CV which talks about experience.
Yeah.
As a doctor, you probably have so much, and people always want to talk about every bit of experience they've had, because, you know, one thing about applying as a doctor is that they ask, like, do you know specific procedures? Do you know how to take blood? Do you know how to read an X-ray? So obviously people want to go overboard and show off everything. Like, I know how to read an X-ray because there was a situation where someone broke their arm and I had to, and then if they want to take bloods, you know, we had a patient who had a car accident, so I had to, so people want to show off every bit of experience they've had in the hospital to show that they're competent. So I'm not surprised that it's 7 pages long, but mine isn't seven pages long, don't worry.
No, I won't, you're just starting off, but I think in less than 2 years, you should be able to have at least 4 pages, don't worry.
That's okay, Ankita, let's calm down. So throughout the last year, Ankita, everything has been quite robotic in the sense that we've had to find a guest, email a guest, find a time slot, give an interview, next guest.
Yeah.
And also do our own stuff behind the scenes. So this year has been just process after process after process. And this whole process got a bit messed up when I had to graduate and you had to start your new job. But I also...
Secretly, that too. Like, I was not allowed to talk about it until the day of the launch, but I have been a part of this project since May.
Can you? Well, I knew about it.
Yeah, of course you did.
Yeah, I knew about it. But even just like us sitting down and having a chat, I think this is probably the first time we've had a chat.
In months.
Just about ourselves.
Yeah. No, genuinely, because I was telling one of my colleagues as well, he's very interested in the podcast and he likes to ask me questions like, oh, but what do you guys do? How are you friends? And I said, yes, we are friends. But you know, there used to be a time when we used to call each other randomly. You were a student, I was unemployed. And we would just randomly call each other and talk for like half an hour, discuss our ideas, discuss what's happening at home, things like that. And now our only way to communicate is on the go. So while I'm walking to work or you're walking, we send each other voice notes. Guys, this is just, we should make a, we should compile all of the voice notes to each other because it's just random. You can hear buses in the background. You can hear construction work because we're walking to places and that's the only time we can leave each other voice notes. It's crazy.
And it's thanks to these voice notes. Even just yesterday, Angita, I was walking towards the summer camp, as I mentioned, you know, working as a sports leader, and there was something that was bothering me quite a bit, and I just thought to myself, the only person who can help me is Ankita, but I knew at that moment you were probably getting ready for work, so I couldn't just call you. I mean, before when I used to call you, you'd be like, Mila, I'll call you back in 5 minutes, just finishing off a blog post.
Yeah.
Or, Mila, I'm about to start writing, I'll call later.
Yeah.
But you were still at home, so it was fine. But now the only thing that I could do, yesterday, the only thing I could do was send you a voice note. But you know, Ankita, it's funny because even just sending that voice note to you, knowing that you would have read it, already like made me feel better. It's just so weird, like how before where I would just pick up the phone and I remember speaking for like 2 hours.
Yeah, we've done everything.
Gone off tangent and spoke and now it's just the voice notes. I never thought we'd be at this stage.
This thing that you sent me yesterday while I was getting ready. So usually I listen to a podcast or an audiobook while I'm getting ready. And yesterday was your voice notes because you'd sent me two and they were rather long. And I could finish brushing my teeth, washing my face, listening to your voice. It was so weird.
We should
make the bathroom.
We should make a podcast on our voice notes.
Yeah, we should. We just should probably have a day of voice notes just randomly sending each other and just compile everything together to make a podcast episode. Guys, if you're listening, I mean, you obviously are.
No, actually, I'd rather my voice notes don't go public.
No, just, you know, don't say the usual shit that you say. But it would be a good idea. If you guys think that would be a good idea, just let us know. We will try to do an entire day in voice notes because that is literally how we communicate with each other now.
But, you know, Ankita, I think also now it's just to tell our listeners as well, like, although we are very happy with what we're doing, you know, interviewing amazing, amazing people and learning so much from people all over the world and from different fields as well, it really is so rewarding. And I personally feel, Ankita, I don't know if you feel the same way, but I also feel like Desi Outsiders can take it a step up. And we want to reach more. No, and when I say take it a step up, I don't mean make thousands of pounds from it. That's not what I mean. I mean in the sense that just reach more people. And I think going on Avaaz FM a couple of months ago really opened my eyes to how many people we can potentially reach. How many listeners tune into Avaaz FM, Ankita?
17,000.
Yeah, 17,000. And if we have that audience, I mean, our stories that we have with the guests that we have are just incredible. And that's not a merit to us. It's the merit to our guests who actually give us their
time.
They
are the heroes, yeah.
They are. So we just aid in the process of sharing their story, but really the story is theirs. And we would love to continue doing, you know, even if we have like a monthly radio slot for an hour, even if we can reach 17,000 people on a monthly basis, that would really be amazing. But obviously now our lives are going to start getting hectic, so I don't know how we can actually make that happen.
I was just going to add to that, we could do all of this if we ever manage to have the time for all of this, because as a doctor, Mina, in a few months you'll be working all kinds of crazy shifts at the hospital, especially when you're starting off. Even during weekends, you know, you would have to work, and it would be random days of the week that you would have off. And I always thought, whenever you told me that this is what your schedule would look like once you start working as a doctor, I always thought that I would have more structure in my life than any doctor. But guess what? My job involves a physical space that customers visit daily. They literally just walk into it. So it's open 7 days a week. And I work weekend shifts, especially as team leader. I work weekend shifts most of the time as well. And, you know, I get 2 days off per week. But like most normal people out there, it is 2 days of a week that I have off, but unlike most normal people, those 2 days could be any random days of the week. They're never both together. It's never going to be, oh, let's give Ankita Saturday and Sunday off, or let's give her like Wednesday and Thursday off. It's going to be one Tuesday and one Sunday off, or maybe I'll be working a weekend and it'll be like a Monday and a Thursday that I have off. I barely see Shane now. That's another thing.
Really?
I barely see... We meet each other in the evenings and he gives me foot rubs because this job also involves being on my feet quite a bit. So on the day of the launch on Monday, I clocked 18,000 steps on my app.
Oh, wow.
On the day of the launch. And yesterday was, as in Wednesday, was my first day as solo team leader. And I clocked 15,000 steps.
Wow.
But that's, and I really feel very good. Happy. It's like, yeah, natural fitness for me.
Yeah, that's really good, because I think you probably feel a difference in your energy levels as well compared to, yeah, when you were at home like 2 years ago, right? Just writing a blog and stuff. Just moving around and staying active also, yeah, brings a big change in your energy levels. But let's see how things go, Ankita. Hopefully someone right now is tuning in who has a solution for this and, yeah, maybe an opportunity for us. So let's just,
yeah,
put it out
there.
Because
it's not just our schedules as well, because there's a third person or a third and fourth person involved most of the time, like a guest from another country, another continent. So we need to be able to cater to that as well. And, yeah, just, you know, quickly going back to the number of steps I've been taking and how every day...
Okay, Ankita, we get it. You're a fitness guru.
No, every day of the week is different for me. So I remember, I just want to go back to Grey's Anatomy because you're a doctor and everything.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So I remember watching an episode on Grey's Anatomy where Christina Yang and Lexi Grey wore diapers to a surgery because it was going to be like an 18-hour procedure. And they're like, we don't want to get out. We're so stoked for this. We're going to wear, yeah, diapers to the surgery. And Shane came back from work one day, and this was when I was unemployed. And I told him, do you wear a diaper to work? Because he pretty much does. What he does in his job is he fights fire every day.
Yeah.
That he's putting out fires, he has a new challenge, a new problem to solve every day, and he's so excited to be up and about doing that. And I say, you wear a diaper to work every day. These guys on TV wear a diaper to work. I want to wear a diaper to work at some point, because that would be so exciting. I mean, Meenal's going to get to wear a diaper to work.
Probably.
Yeah, I want to do that as well with my life. And finally, we're both reaching a stage where we both get to wear diapers to work.
Life goals.
Yep. Wear a diaper to work.
Yeah. Well, I think that if we ever get to a point where we can schedule something like this, where we have a radio show or we have anything to reach more people, and in fact, even just our listeners, you can help us reach more people by leaving us reviews on iTunes or even telling your friends about us or even posting our episodes on your social media. So that would be very helpful to us. And if you do enjoy our work and if you do want to help us, you can really boost our project by nominating us for the Asian Media Awards. So the Asian Media Awards are held in October in London this year. The nominations close in August. So if you would like to vote for us, we'd be very grateful for that. And all the links and information can be found in our episode description. Your support has brought us here at this point where Ankita is working at Google. And I do believe the work of these outsiders has played a role in that, in her confidence, in her everything, really, in all her skills. And I think that really helped her get to where she is today. And your help has also helped me become, you know, quite, well,
a better human,
a good
being,
doctor,
a more empathetic doctor. Yeah.
Yeah, it's true. And, you know, when I see patients in the hospital, I start to reminisce about all the different guests that we've had and the different experiences they've had. And that's given me a good idea of what the world can be like. So Desi Outsiders has helped us on a personal level. And I'm pretty sure it's also had an impact on you listeners in some way or another. We want to continue doing that. So if you support us for the Asian Media Awards, I'm sure we can continue this and escalate our impact in India and around the world, really.
Yeah. And please, along the same lines, help us wear diapers to work.
Yeah. So if you enjoyed this episode and if you would like to hear more brain dumps, do drop us an email to mail@dcoutsiders.com. If there are any guests you'd like us to interview, again, you can do the same thing. We are a bit quiet on Instagram these days, a bit quiet on social media, but now that I am the unemployed one, I will pick that up and we'll make sure that's not the case anymore. And you can also contact us on Instagram or so any social media platform. You can find us on Desi Outsiders as well. So thank you for tuning in this week, and I really enjoyed this brain dump.
Me too.
Yeah, so until next week, and we hope to bring you another guest next week on time on Thursday. I'm Meenal.
And I'm Ankita.
And we are the Desi Outsiders.